Before the summer, we spent a lot of time speaking about one of the halachas concerning sfeikas. We spoke about the basic principles of sfeika deraisa l'chumra, sfeika deraisa l'kula, and the principles of sfeika. But all of the above, everything we've been talking about, is only assuming that we have a real bona fide safek. Sometimes the Torah gives us certain klolim, certain ways to determine that it's no longer a safek. So that's what we're going to begin to discuss now. Some things we've touched on a little bit in passing, but we're really going to begin with the first klal that the Torah gives us. What do you do when you have a safek? Is there any way to be machmir the safek? So there is a principle called rov in halacha. Do we follow rov? That if the majority indicates in one direction, either that something is mutter or something is asr, that we no longer have a suffix. If it's no longer called a suffix, then everything we spoke about in the past no longer applies. So we have to really understand this principle of rov, where it comes from, how it works, what are the parameters of rov. This is really our next major topic. So comes the Gemara, beginning in Maseches Chula, and if you're Aleph, raises the question. Everybody knows there's a principle of rov. We have mishnayos that apply the principle of rov. You follow rov here, and you follow rov there, and you follow the other place. Where does it come from? Menahem bilsa diyamra bonin zilbasa ruba. How do you know that there's a principle of following rov? So the Gemara says, "Oh, yeah, there's a principle of pasuk in Chumash." Achiram hatos. The Torah says you follow rov. Now the context, and it's the pshuto shemikra context of rov is referring to dayanim. You're having a din Torah, and you have three dayanim. Two dayanim say chai, one dayan says potter. So you follow the rov. So even though all three dayanim aren't saying the same thing, it doesn't matter. Achiram Lahatos teaches us that you follow the two out of the three dayanim. It says the Gemara, from here we derive the principle that you follow rov. So what would be an example of this? The Gemara says, let's say you have 10 stores, the famous case, you have 10 stores in town, 9 of them are selling kosher meat and one of them is selling trefa meat. And you find a piece of meat on the floor, and you don't know where the meat came from. So minatoru, you're allowed to eat the meat. There may be problems with the rabbanon, the other technicalities, but minatoru, you would be permitted to eat the meat, because you're allowed to follow rov. So you have 10 stores, 9 are selling kosher, 1 is selling treif. You follow rov. So the Gemara says, how do you know you follow rov? It's simple. It's an extrapolation of the case of dayanim. Well, simple. In a million years, I never would have said such a thing. If Chazal wouldn't have said it, I never would have figured this out. I'm reading Pashas Mishpatim, and the Torah is talking about a din Torah, three dayanim, two say chayef, one says potter. So that's the moment that if you have 10 stores, 9 selling kosher, 1 selling treif, you follow the rov. That's quite a chiddush. That's what it says. That's what Chazal says. That's what the Torah Shabbat tells us, that we can derive from the parish of Achiram Lahatos of dayanim the principle that you follow rov. So comes the Gemara and says, no, not so simple. If you think about it conceptually, not all roves are the same. You know, we sometimes lump roves together. We say, yeah, well, there's an 80% chance this is true, it's a rove. It's a 90% chance a rove. Not all roves are the same. Conceptually, there are two very, very different types of roves. One is what's called the Ruba de Isa Kamon, and one is what's called the Ruba de Lesa Kamon. What is the difference between the two? So literally, just listen to the words themselves give it away. The Ruba de Isa Kamon means that the rove is literally in front of us. That means we have all the numbers tallied up in front of us. We did all the math, we have a piece of paper, and we counted up stores. We're walking down Cedar Lane, we have, right, okay, Rabbi Bruchheim will help us with this, we have 10 stores, 9 of them are kosher, we hope, okay, 9 of them are kosher, and one of them, if argument's sake, is treif. So I can make a cheshbon, say, 9 is this way, 1 is this way, find a piece of meat on the floor, I know exactly what to do. That's a Ruba de Isa Kamon, which is really the same as dayanim, at least in a conceptual frame. I have three dayanim. I can count it. Reuven's a dayan, Shimon's a dayan, Levi's a dayan. I count them all up. I know exactly what my numbers are. Two against one. That's called the Ruba de Isa Kamon. But sometimes you have a different type of a rov. It's called the Ruba de Isa Kamon. Ruba de Isa Kamon means nobody really sat down and did the math, because it's not a type of numbers that you can really get hardcore statistics on. A Ruba de Isa Kamon. So say Lamarshal. The Gemara says the rov behemos enam treifos. Most animals are not treif. Most animals don't have holes in their stomach. Does that mean that we went around with the veterinarians, counted up 1 million animals, and we came to the realization that 999,000 don't have holes in their stomach? Nobody ever did that. What led us to this conclusion that it's a rove? Well, we're looking around. We walk around the zoo. We see that most animals are not dying on the spot. Things which have treifas, have holes in their stomachs, holes in their hearts, holes in their heads, aren't going to live for very long. So we see that most animals look like they're okay. Most animals look like they're healthy. So that's also called a rove. But that's what's called a Ruba de Isa Kamon. We never really did the math. Nobody ever did the math. But it's just obvious in nature, in the way the world is, it's pointing in a direction that such a rove exists. Well, let's say, Lamashal, rove nashim ayoldos letisha chadoshim. The Gemara says, as a majority, most women who are pregnant will give birth at 9 months. Most babies are not born premature. How do we know that's true? Because we took a tally, we asked all the OBGYNs to count up all the pregnancies for the last, since Shesh Mevracious, to figure out who has given birth, who has given birth. It's ridiculous. It's obvious that way. How is it obvious that way? We see that most babies that are born, full, complete, term babies. So it's understood, nature has indicated to us that there's such a rove. So that's what's called the Ruba de Lesa, come on. So says the Gemara, Maseches Chulin, just because we have a Pasuk Ram Lahatos that teaches us that we can follow a Ruba de Isa, come on, how do you know you can follow a Ruba de Lesa, come on? Where does it say? In the Chabal Chidushai. So says the Gemara, not so simple, not so partial. Maybe a Ruba de Lesa, come on, Taka doesn't exist. Maybe the Aloch is, we don't say Rov Behemoth Seder and Treifus. Maybe we don't say Rov Nashim Yodos Tatisha. Maybe there isn't such a din of following a Ruba de Lesa, come on. How do you know? So those who remember Daf Yomi, already a couple of months ago, they give Maseches Chulin, the Gemara tries and tries and tries for a daf and a half to try to bring a raya that there exists such a concept of Ruba de Lesa, come on. Some very, very creative rayas, the Gemara says. The Gemara says, well, maybe we can bring a raya from the fact that there's a parasha shechita in the Torah. After all, maybe the animal had a hole in its esophagus beforehand, and there was no way of knowing. So you see, from here, you're allowed to follow Rov. The Gemara says maybe it is a rhyme, not a rhyme. And the Gemara says, oh, that's strange, strange rayas. The Gemara says that, well, how could you ever eat a korban Pesach? You have to eat it Rosh Al Krova. You're not allowed to break the bones. Maybe there's a hole inside the head. You don't know. And so you follow Rov. Well, it tries and tries and tries and tries to bring you a raya. There exists the parasha of Rov. At least it didn't ruin the Lesa. Come on. At the end of the day, I don't want to say it, but at the end of the day, the Gemara fails. The Gemara throws its hands up and says, we don't really have a puzzle. There's no marker. Not from Shechita, not from Korban Pesach, not from here, not from there. There's no marker in Chumash that tells us that there's a concept called the Ruba de Lesa. Come on. Aye, but we know it exists. There are Mishnayos and Gemara's Sugi Shleimus and Shas, that there's a principle called the Ruba de Lesa. Come on. What's the answer? So the Gemara is silent. The Gemara never tells us, so Taka, what's the marker? If you rejected all the makers, what is the marker? So Rashi, at the very, very end of the Sugi, Rashi finally comes to the rescue. Rashi gives two pshatim. Rashi says, either the answer is that the Gemara in the end realized that Ruba de Isa come on, Ruba de Lesa come on are not all that different, and therefore we can't extrapolate one from another. And the real Mokor for Ruba de Lesa come on is also Acharav Mahatos, even though it's true the original case of Acharav Mahatos of Dayonim is a Ruba de Isa come on, but that which we thought that they're really different, we're not really right. It's not true. They're not really all that different. And therefore, included in the parasha of Acharav Mahatos is in fact both. That's one interpretation of Rashi. And the second being Rashi is, when everything else fails, we fall back on three magic words. Must be halacha l'shem sinai, says Rashi. It must be. There's no mokor. There's no mokor in the Tosh v'chsaf, Ruba de Lesa. Come on. Everybody knows it exists. We have mishnayis, full mishnayis and sugyas throughout Shas that it exists. There's no other way to explain it. It must be kach nemar halacha l'shem sinai. There's a principle called Ruba de Lesa. Come on. So when all the dust settles, a Ruba de Isa, come on, for sure is derived from Acharav Mahatos. Ruba de Lesa, come on, for sure exists. Whether it's derived from Acharav Mahatos, whether it's derived from Halacha Mosheh Sinai, is still up for grabs. But I'll call upon him, we spent the first 10 minutes trying to figure out what the Mokor for the dinner is. At the end of the day, does it really matter? What the Mokor is, it's true anyway. Ruba de Isa, come on, it's true. Ruba de Lesa, come on, it's true. So my Nafkamina, what the Mokor is. So the Chorah, there's going to be a tremendous Nafkamina. Because we really have to take a step back and really analyze conceptually these two different types of robes. A Ruba de Isa come on and Ruba de Lesa come on, are they really working in the same manner? Are they conceptually the same, Ruba de Isa come on? Again, the case of the 10 stores, 9 selling kosher, 1 selling treif, a classic Ruba de Isa come on, or the Dayanim, a classic Ruba de Isa come on. Are they really working in the same manner as the classic Ruba de Lesa come on of Rov Behemoth and Treifus or Rov Noshim Yodos Letitia? Are they really the same? This is Rov and that's a Rov, and they're all basically conceptually the same? Or is there something fundamentally different in terms of the very nature of how these Rovs work? So in order to understand, to answer this question properly, we have to take a step back, take about 5 steps back, and really have to learn two sugyas, one sugya that appears in the beginning of Maseches Bava Metzia, one sugya that appears at the end of Maseches Kedushin, and we finish both sugyas, and then we see the connection between the two sugyas, then we'll begin to answer the question. I hope we'll be able to finish all that by today, otherwise we have to keep it in the back burner. But hopefully we'll be able to do so. So the sugya Maseches Bava Metzia and the above and the Beis, the famous sugya called Kofetz Echem and Amenuyin. Now the truth is that the sugya of Kofetz Echem and Amenuyin is not really above Metziah sugya. It's really a last Perek of Maseches Becheres sugya. But more yeshivas learned the first Perek of Metziah than the last Perek of Becheres, so it became popular as above Metziah sugya. I have to be honest, I wrote up my sefer in the Becheres sefer, I read above Metziah sefer. So if you want to take a look, you take a look at the Rishis Kach. But Lamais, it's really Becheres sugya that all the yeshivas talk about at the beginning of Metziah. comes the beginning of the sugi, the beginning of Mitzvah, and quotes a mission in the end of Bechoris concerning Maisa Behema. You know, Maisa Behema, it's in the Torah that I have to count off my animals. 100 animals were born, so I have them walk through under the stick, give a touch the 10th one. The 10th one now becomes Kadosh. The next 10 go by, 10th, etc. Each 10th one that goes under the stick, Kosher Yavatach Hashavar Asiri Yakadosh Hashem Asim brought as a korban, the din of Maisa Behema. So I'm counting off my animals. I've got 20,000 animals. I'm counting my animals, counting my animals. And all of a sudden, one of the animals that was already counted, it was number 76. So it wasn't Kaddish. It was already Potter. Once the animal walks through once, it's Potter. It doesn't walk through a second time. So it already walked through, and it's supposed to be hanging out on the other end of the barn with all the animals that were already counting. But it got a little jumpy, that animal, and it jumps back. And before I know it, it jumps back into the pile of animals that were not yet counted. So now I've got a big problem on my hands. Why? I have 20,000 animals that are still chayiv in Maisa Behema, haven't yet been counted. I guess there's one animal that has already been counted, and that animal is Potter. So I have a Torah, I have a mixture now of 20,000 plus one. So what's the din? Says the Mishnah, Kofetzach ben Nuyen, Kulam Pturin. All the animals that are have not yet been counted have now become exempted from the mitzvah of Maisa Behema. There's no mitzvah of Maisa Behema anymore. Kofetzach ben Nuyen, Potter is Kulam. Why is that? So the Gemara says, well, how can I possibly take one of these animals? Maybe the animal I'm going to take is going to be a ready potter. How can I bring that as a korban? It's not chayiv in korbanos. It's not chayiv in Maisa Behema. So therefore, that's going to exempt everything. So come to Rishonim and ask, wait, what in the world's going on? What happened to the principle of Rov? So they got 20,001 animals in there. 20,000 of them have not been counted. Only one of them has been counted. Their overwhelming odds are that the animal that I'm going to choose is going to really be chayiv in Maisa Behema. So what do you mean I'm potter? Because of Sofek. What do you mean I'm potter? So says the Gemara, no, I'm potter. You know why I'm potter? Because Maisa Vade Amrachamana Velo Maisa Sofek. I'm only chayiv in Maisa Behema b'teres Vade, not b'teres Sofek. So say the Rishonim, but this is a Vade. This is not a Sofek anymore. The opening words that I said when we began the shiur today were, whenever you have a robe, it's not a Sofek anymore. So come to Rishonim and ask, what do you mean it's a Sofek Maisa Behema? It's not a Sofek. Where's the Sofek? There's a robe. There's a 99.99% chance that I'm chayiv in Maisa Behema, any given animal that I take. So why don't we follow robe? So comes the Shit Mekubetzes in the beginning of Metziah and quotes from the Rosh. The following, we don't have it in our Rosh in the back of the Gemara. We have the Shit Mekubetzes quotes from a Rosh that even though you have robe, even though, technically speaking, you have a 99% chance that I'm going to be chayav, midei sveika lo nafka, that it's still called a suffix. So this rush undermines my opening lines to the shiur. So I started off today's shiur by saying, oh, whenever you have a robe, it's not called a suffix. Says the Shit Mekubetzes, that's not true. It's called the suffix. It's still a pidin called the suffix. It's just that you have a robe. You have a robe, tells you you're allowed to follow a robe, but it's still considered to be a suffix. So what the Shit Mekubetzes is addressing is really a fundamental chakira as to what the very nature of Rov is all about. Yesh lach, or all these dinim, the Torah tells us, you follow Rov. Find a piece of meat in the floor, you follow Rov. What's the nature of the din you follow Rov? So one can raise the following chakira. When we say that we follow Rov, does this mean to say that Rov is what we call in halacha a birur? That the Rov is telling us what the facts are. Rov is being revived for us. Rov is telling us, is Nishkin Suffolk anymore? Rov is telling us, this piece of meat is kosher. The Torah is 100%. You could say, you could take a Shvur Derais, it's 100%. This is a kosher piece of meat. There's no Shana, no Suffolk about it anymore. Rov is revived to us that this is kosher piece of meat. What do you say? No, Rov is not mavar anything. Is it a kosher piece of meat? I'll give you the statistics. It's a 90% chance that it's kosher. Can I say bevados that it's kosher? Ruach HaKodesh, how do you know that it's kosher? Elohim. The Torah says, when you have a Rov, the Torah gives you what's called a din hanhoga. The Torah says, you're allowed to follow Rov. One of the din that Torah is, the Torah gave us a lot of different dinim. So this is one of the dinim that the Torah gave us. When in doubt, if you have a Rov, you follow the Rove. Does it mean to say that the Rove is Mepharo with the emesis? No, I have no idea what the emesis. I don't know, and I couldn't care less what the emesis. The Torah says it's Mutta. The same Torah that says you're not allowed to eat Nevela says that when you have a Rove that's a Shchuta, you're allowed to eat it. So that's a fundamental Chakira, a very basic fundamental Chakira, what the nature of Rove is all about. So this Shit Mekubetzes is telling us. The Shit Mekubetzes is saying exactly one side of the Chakira. He's saying, Midei Sveikel and Afka. That since there's a Gzeres HaKosov, that Maisa Vade Amar Chamona, Velo Maisa Safek, The only time you bring Maisa Behema is only when it's B'teres Vadai, not when it's B'teres Safek. This is still called the Safek. I was shrank, Chavikayim has arrived, has arrived, has arrived. It's a Rov until tomorrow. It's still Midei Sfekel and Afma. It's still called the Safek. So that's the answer. That's the Asaidis that the Shibu Kibetzis is extrapolating from the Sugya about Kofet Zechem and Amenuyim. However, come the Acharonim and say, it doesn't seem to be correct, this Yisoid, because there's a Gemara in the end of Maseches Kedushin that apparently contradicts it. The Gemara Maseches Kedushin is talking about the sugyas of Mamzerus. The Gemara says that we have a special halacha. We spoke a little bit about this. We spoke about it earlier, a little bit about it. We even touched on the Sheish Mites a little bit. Because of the suffix of the Sfeg, right. We didn't stay up with this whole shtick, although we set up a little bit of Kovet Sechem, right. It's ready. Summer was in between us, so we already got a long time to chaz off a little bit. The Gemara in the end of Maseches Kedushin tells us there's a special exercise across of that Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter. Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter in the Torah. I mean, there are abundant, it's problematic, but Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter in the Torah. We spoke a lot about why do you need exercise across of four, according to the Rambam's fakers. All fakers are Mutter. That was already earlier Shira. But the Gemara is in the Farish that Suffolk Mamzer is Mutter in the Torah. And not only is Suffolk Mamzer Mutter in the Torah, but Suffolk Kol is also Mutter in the Torah. Namely, this week's Parsha coming up, that the only time there's an issue of Mamzerus is when you have someone who's 100% sure he's a Mamzer. There's not allowed to marry someone who's 100% sure that he's kosher, Kol Hashem. Kol Hashem means someone who's a kosher Jew. So when you have a Vade Mamzer marrying a Vade Kol, that's where the issue of Mamzerus kicks in. If there are any Suffolk, either it's a Suffolk whether he's a Mamzer, or Suffolk whether she's kosher a Kol or not, whatever the case may be, any sfeik has been a Torah, everything is mutter. That's the special gzeir sakosov that appears in the end of Maseches Kedushin. So comes the Shem Shmaitza and comes Rabbi Kivhegar with a bomb kasha. So wait a second. So how do you ever have a case of a Vadei Kohol? How do you know that any given person is 100% sure that he's a kosher Jew? What do you mean? How do you know? So, asked the Acharonim, the Gemara says in Maseches Chulin, the only way of ever knowing who a person's father is based on Rov. Rov Bila Zachrabal. We assume that it's the father. We don't know. We can't say with absolute 100% certainty that it's the father. The only way we say it's a Rov. It's a very good Rov, hopefully. If the woman's from, it's a very, very, we hope it's the best Rov in the world. But if we did Rov Lanafka, it's still considered to be a Rov. We follow Rov. In Kol Darkul, we follow Rov. For the Olam says, I don't know whether it's true or not, but the Azosh state in some places, that the reason why when we make a Mishaberach, so we say the mother's name instead of the father's name, because Bepikuach Nefesh and Hochanach HaHarov. So we want to make sure that we get the person's name 100% right. So you don't want to say the father's name, we say the mother's name. Somebody sent me an email a couple of weeks ago. I don't know who the person was. They sent me an email, Rabbi, how come we make Mishaberach so we say the mother's name? So I didn't respond with that answer. I didn't know who the person was, and I'm afraid to put something like that on out there. You never know where it's going to end up. So, off the official record. So, there's some say such an idea, whether it's true or not, I'm not sure. Anyway, getting back to the story. So, but in other areas of Allah, we do follow, Rov. So, come the Acharonim and ask, wait a second, how could you follow Rov? Come the Acharonim and say, if that's the case, that the whole way of knowing that somebody's father is his father, the only way of knowing, in effect, the person is kosher, is based on the Rov. Wait a second, we never have a case of Kal Vadai. Take the whole Parsha Mamzerus, this week's Parsha, and cut it out of the Torah. There's never a Parsha Mamzerus. The Torah says that a Mamzer Vadai can't marry a Kal Vadai. How do you know the guy's a Kal Vadai? Maybe his mother was Mazana with somebody. How do you know? It's only based on Rov. According to the Shit Mekubet says that Rov is still called the Sofek, Midei Sfekel and Afka. So before we read the Shit Mekubet to the Bavitzia, we would have laughed at the question. We would have said, what do you mean? What do you mean it's only a Rov? Good, so I'm going to be a Rov, but it's a Rov. So Rov is Oike the Sofek. It's not a Sofek anymore, no. But once the Shit Mekubet has told us that Midei Sfekel and Afka, that it's still considered to be a Sofek, notwithstanding the fact that it's a Rov, then we have a problem. Okay, the whole Parsha Mamzerus falls by the way. So this question bothered the Gedolei. How could it be? Make up your mind about Rov. Is Rov a Mevarer or is Rov a Dinan Hoga? Do we say in the presence of a Rov, so we are Mevar the Suffolk? It's Nishkein Suffolk anymore, like the Dinan Mamzera seems to indicate that it's not a Suffolk. It's considered to be called Vadai. Do we say that? Do we say no? Like the Shidru Gubetza says, like the Din of Maisa Behema seems to indicate, that even though you have a Rov, it's still called a Suffolk. So this is a very basic, fundamental, conceptual question about the nature of Rov. is rova mevar, is rova din hanoga. Namely, is it still called the suffik, or is it not called the suffik? Hukas ma'aseh behem is pointing in one direction, and hukas mamzeris is pointing in another direction. So if anyone would have ever guessed, there's going to be a sphere between hukas mamzeris and hukas ma'aseh behem, what do they have to do with each other? Nothing. He says, right, they have nothing to do with each other, but they're both working with the fundamental principle, and the fundamental principle is contradicting one another.
By ma'aseh behem, there's a pasuk that says that.
It says Asiri Yakodesh Lashem, Asiri Vada Velosiri Safik. But the same kind of is Russia. The Gemara says Asiri Vada Velosiri Safik. And by Mamzut says Kal Vada Velokal Safik. So those drushes, is it called a Safik? Is it not called a Safik? The basic question is the same. When you have a robe, is it called a Safik or is it not called a Safik? Is a robe virus or it's Oy Safik? It's Mafkir the Shem Safik. But you say no, it's still like the Safik. It's still a Safik. What is it Dinan Hoga? Comes to Sheikh Shmaitza and says the answer to this question is it depends what kind of rove we're dealing with. Says the Sheikh Shmaitza, if you think about it conceptually, the two sugyas are talking about two very, very different roves. The Gemara in that Kapat Sechem Menuyin is a Ruba de Isa. Come on, I'm a farmer. I know exactly how many animals I got. I got 10,000 animals. I counted them all up. Each cow has a little license plate, stamped on the back. I know exactly how many animals I have. And now I'm not sure. I got one animal ran in. 5,000 animals inside, outside, inside. That's a rove. He said, "Come on," but the rove of Maseches Kedushin, the rove of that rove Yilasach Rabal, that most children are in fact the born to their father, not just a stranger. That's not a rove. He said, "Come on." Nobody sat down and counted up. There's no statistics on that. There's no hardcore numbers on that. Is that we look, we see this woman's from. So most from women. Baruch Hashem, not Mizana. It's a rove Yilasach Rabal. So says the Sheikh Shmaitza, that's a Ruba de Leisikamon, that's not a Ruba de Isikamon. So says the Shmaitza, that makes all the difference in the world. When you have a Ruba de Isikamon, so a Ruba de Isikamon, how can you say that's a Mavara? A Ruba de Isikamon, the mute is staring you in the face. Like in the case of the meat on Cedar Lane, I'm staring at the trefa store. I see that there's a trefa store in front of me. Or the case of the Dayanim, I see that there's a dissenting view in front of me. Or in the case of the Maisa Behema, I know for a fact, I'm looking at an animal. I know that there's an animal that was already counted in front of me. So whenever I have a Ruba de Isa come on, when the miut is anil lefaneinu, how can you close your eyes to reality and say, no, it's commando leisa. Doesn't exist. The robe is mavarer or the stuff. You have to have real munas lacham to say such a thing. So when you have a Ruba de Isa come on, you have to take the toned down version of rove. Rove is not mavar anything. It's still like the suffix. It remains a suffix. You're allowed to follow rove. The Torah gives you a break. It's a kula. You can follow in hunger, din, whatever razzle dazzle lumbus you want to call it. But midei sveka lein hafka. That's when you have a ruba de Isa come on, when the miut is emid lefaneinu. But when you have a ruba de leisa come on, where there's nothing lefaneinu. There's nothing. The whole thing is up in the air. The whole thing in the world is in the world of our imagination. Most animals are not treif. Most women give birth in 9 months. Most women aren't mazana. Those are not hardcore statistics. Those are not hardcore numbers. There's no facts in front of us. When there are no facts in front of us, we can say whatever we want. And we say, good, so then it's not a suffix anymore. Good, it's not a suffix anymore. Rob is Mavara. Very nice. Rob is Mavara. So it comes out, according to the Sheikh Shemaitz, an amazing thing, that in the hierarchy of robes, which robe is a better robe? Which robe is a more powerful robe? A Ruba de Leisikamon is more powerful than Ruba de Isikamon. A Ruba de Isikamon doesn't do all that much. Ruba de Isikamon, Bekoshi gets by. Ruba de Isikamon tells you, all right, you have a suffix, it's still a suffix, was a suffix, is a suffix, will always be a suffix. No, we'll give you a break, you can still be made, you can still follow the Dinan Hoga. Ruba de Leisikamon is much more powerful. Ruba de Leisikamon changes the facts on the ground. Ruba de Leisikamon takes something, takes an animal, makes it kosher. Ruba de Leisikamon takes a woman and says, Mevadol, she gave birth in 9 months. Ruba de Leisikamon takes a person and says, he's a vada kol Hashem, based on Rove. So if that's the case, then we have to go back to the Gemara Maseches Chulin, because the Gemara Chulin doesn't sound that way. We started off the Shia by saying, Chazal asked a question, Daf Yud and Chulin, how do you know there's a Rove? Where does the principle of Rove come from? So the Gemara says, we learn that from Dayanim. Achir Rab Mahatos. So the Gemara says, Ahat Teinach, Ruba de Isa Kamon, Ruba de Leisa Kamon, Ma'ikal Ameimah. Just because you have a Ruba de Isa Kamon based on Dayanim, how do you know there's a principle called Ruba de Leisa Kamon? The Gemara is searching and searching and searching. Ruba de Isa Kamon, that we have in our pocket already. Ruba de Isa Kamon we know exists. That wasn't a shot. It took us 3 words to solve Ruba de Isa Kamon. Ruba de Leisa Kamon, we have a whole day of Daf Yomi is dedicated unsuccessfully to find a mocha for Ruba de Leisa Kamon. So it seems from the flow of the Gemara that Ruvud Yisakaman is a much better Rav. Ruvud Yisakaman is a Milsa de Pshita. Anybody can figure out Ruvud Yisakaman. Ruvud Yisakaman is so difficult to figure out, we're not even sure what the Makor is in the end. So comes the Shmaisa and takes that Gemara and Mamash flips it on its head. Comes the Shmaisa and says, you're right, that Kolzman, that we didn't have a Makor for Ruvud Yisakaman, we thought that maybe Ruvud Yisakaman is better. But once we finally solved the problem, and we really do have a Malkar for Ruben Leisik, which I'm not sure what it is. Once we finally do have the Malkar for Ruben Leisik Amon, then we go back and we look at both robes and we evaluate them one against the other. We say, you know what? By golly, Ruben Leisik Amon is Taka better. Ruben Leisik Amon, Taka makes more sense. Because after all, the Mirut is not our middle fenenu. The Mirut is not contradicting us. So according to the Shmaitz, you take the whole Sugyun Chulun Daf Yud and throw it out for two reasons. You throw it out for one reason because the Gemara never successfully found the Mokor. And then you throw it out for a second reason because the whole premise of an entire Daf in Maseches Chulun was that Isakaman is better than Leisakaman, and that all flips in the end. At the end, everything is Benafichu. The Ruben de Leisakaman is better and more powerful, and that plays out Lahalokha. That's why Legabe Mamzeiros, Aruba de Leisekaman is called a Vadai. That's why Legabe Maisedaima, Aruba de Isekaman is not called a Vadai. Everything has changed. Everything flips according to the Shemaitza. And Apidin Lumdus is that Aruba de Isekaman is fundamentally weaker than Aruba de Leisekaman. Aruba de Isekaman only works Bitaras and Haga. Aruba de Leisekaman works Bitaras Bira. Lechora, we can be Ma'ora on the Shev Shemaitza. We can make the following Ha'ora. We mentioned at the beginning of this year that although the Gemara fails to find the Mokar for Ruben de Leisakaman, Rashi had to solve the problem. Rashi had to come to the rescue. It has to be some Mokar. So Rashi threw his hands up and said, it must be one of two things. Either it's also based on Acher Rav Nahatos, that the Gemara assumed that it's really all the same, Ruben de Leisakaman and Leisakaman, he learned out from the same Pasuk. Or, for lack of a Pasuk, for lack of an independent Mokar, we must fall back on Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So when all the dust settled in the Gemara, we only have two possibilities for the ultimate source for the existence of a Ruben de Leisakaman. Either it's also Acharam Lahatas, or it's based on Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So now we have to analyze the Shev Shemaisa in light of these two comments of Rashi. If you hold that at the end of the day, the Malka for Ruben de Leisakaman is Acharam Lahatas, it's the same thing. What the Gemara is really saying after a daf of unsuccessfully trying to find Makaras, what the Gemara is really saying when it's pushed into the corner is that, guess what? Ruben de Isakaman, Ruben de Leisakaman are not as different as we thought they were. They're all the same. They're all learned from the same pasuk. They're all Acharam Lahatas. So then the Shesh Maitz becomes very, very difficult. The Shei Shmaitz is trying to sell us this Yisoid that they're different, they're so fundamentally different. The whole thrust of the Shei Shmaitz is that Ruben de Leisakaman and Ruben de Isakaman are so radically different from one another that they work in fundamentally different ways in Lamdus. One's a Din on Haga, one's a Birur, one there is a latest of Suffolk, one there's not a latest of Suffolk. The Mamish worlds apart. According to the Shmaitz, the whole point is that they're fundamentally different. According to Rashi, at the end of the sugya, they're best friends, Ruben de Isakaman and Ruben de Leisakaman. They learned off of the same pasuk, the same three words, that all differences between them melt. Ruben de Isakaman, Ruben de Leisakaman, man, what's the difference between friends? They're all robes, they're all the same thing. So according to the Shemaitza, the Chorah one day in Rashi is absolutely not correct. How could it be that at the end of the day, when all the dust settles, they're all basically the same? No, they're not the same. They are radically different from one another. So the Chorah, the Shev Shmaitz's whole Shtetl Torah only makes sense if this Halacha Moshe Mesinai really exists. If you tell me that the Mokof Ruben de Leisakaman is Halacha Moshe Mesinai, then you can say whatever you want. In the world of Halacha Moshe Mesinai, you want to tell me it's a Birur, so it's on a Birur. If it's based on Acharei Mahatos, it's on Hoga. If it's based on Halacha Moshe Mesinai, it's a Birur. You want to say whatever you want. I cannot prove you wrong. I wasn't there. I didn't hear the Halacha Moshe Mesinai. I can't tell you what it is. So you want to tell me that one's a Birur, one's on Hoga, because one's learned out from a Pasuk, one's learned out from Halacha Moshe Mesinai. That's okay. That's fine. So Chora, the whole Shtetl Torah, the Shesh Maitz, is hanging on three words, on an existence of Halacha Moshe Mesinai, that Beinenu, we don't even know exists. We don't have any record in the Gemara of such Halacha Moshe Mesinai. The Rambam in his Akdam with the Perish of Mishnah says he's going to give you a list of all the Halacha Moshe Mesinais that exist in Shas. So he says that I'm going to give you all of them. And the Rambam writes, I may miss one or two, you know, if I'm not careful. He says, but I'm going to try to give you all of them. The Rambam lists off, gives you 25 times the Gemara says the words Halacha Moshe Mesinai. So the Rambam says, this is pretty much it. That's all there is right no more. There are a lot of other things that were given to Moshe Rabbeinu Har Sinai. But the official term Halacha Moshe Mesinai, the Rambam uses to define something that is no Mokman Tosh B'Chsav. if it's an interpretation, let's say, for example, the fact that we take an Esrog on Sukkot, that was given to Moshe Rabbeinu in our Sinai, but that's not called Halacha Moshe Mishinai, because that's just an interpretation of what the Pasuk says. Well, let's say, for example, Ayin Tachas Ayin, the Ram says, that's not Halacha Moshe Mishinai. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu what the words in the Chumash Ayin Tachas Ayin mean. Halacha Moshe Mishinai means, like, the tefillin have to be square. It's not interpreting any pasuk. It's just a fact. It's a statement of fact that tefillin have to be square. That's Halacha Moshe Mishinai. Or Nisach Hamayim. Kach Nemar Halacha Moshe Mishinai. So the Rambam writes that the term Halacha Moshe Mishinai is very, very limited in scope. That must be other Rishonim probably disagree with that, but that's already a side topic, not for now. But Akol Panim, here Rashi is introducing the term Halacha Moshe Mishinai and telling us there must be some Halacha Moshe Mishinai here, and that's the nature of the din of Ruba Delei Sekamon, and that explains why Ruba Delei Sekamon and Ruba Delei Sekamon works so radically different. So when the whole Sugya ends, according to the Shemaitza, you walk away with this fundamentally different ways of reading how roves work. Some roves work with Taras Bira, other roves work with Taras Anhaga, and you have to always zero in and figure out what kind of rove you're working with, and it's going to chap nafkaminas, nafkaminas mamzeris, nafkaminas maisa behema. You have to always know what kind of rove you're dealing with before you can answer the question whether it's called a sophic or not. But everything we've been saying for the last 20 minutes is assuming that we have to solve this problem, the stira between the sugya of mamzerus and the sugya of ma'aseh behema. How could it be that in hilchos ma'aseh behema it's still called a suffet, whereas in hilchos mamzerus, so it's not called a in hilchos mamzerus, it's not called a suffet anymore. So comes Rabbi Kivega in a tshuva, and he says he thinks the whole question is kushim ekar leisa. Comes Rabbi Kivega and says there's a very, very big difference between the case of Hilchos Mamzerus and the case of Hilchos Ma'aseh Behema. Comes Rabbi Kivega and says, the Hilchos Ma'aseh Behema Shaila is a localized Shaila. It's a localized suffix. Are there any other Nafkaminas Ladina, whether this animal jumped in or jumped out? Does anybody care which number animal it is? My Nafkamina. There's absolutely no Nafkamina in Hilchos Kashrus, in Hilchos Shabbos, in Hilchos Yom Tov. There's no Nafkamina Ladina which animal it is. There's only one Nafkamina. The only area of Halacha that matters to us is if Chayv in Ma'aseh Behema or not Chayv in Ma'aseh Behema. That's a Ma'aseh Behema Dika Shaila. So a Hilchos Ma'aseh Behema Shaila is a localized Shaila. Then we plug in the Gzeres HaKosov, a Siri Vadim or a Siri Suffolk. Whenever there's a Ma'aseh Behema Shaila, Ma'aseh Behema Shaila is overturn, they trump the regular rules of Rove. That's the Gzeres HaKosov, a Siri Vadim or a Siri Suffolk. But the question in Maseches Kedushin, who is the father of this child? So we have a child in front of us, we want to know. We know the mother is, she's a married woman, and we think we know the father is, we think it's the husband, but we're not a 1,000,000% sure. It's based on Rove Bilasachar Abal. My nafkamina, who the father is. My nafkamina, who the father is. There are a lot of nafkaminas. Nafkamina for kibud avayim. Nafkamina for mara avayim. Nafkamina for maka aviv imo. Is he chayv if he hits the father? Is he chayv misa? Nafkamina for makal aviv imo. He curses the father. There are half a dozen halachas which depend on. Is the father? Is this supposed father chayv in bris milah? Is the supposed father chayv in pidgin be? Is he chayv to teach him Torah? Is he chayv to teach him a trade? Is he chayv to teach him how to swim? We got a million nafkaminas ladino who do. Who to get married? Okay, so I forgot the most important one. Okay, that's right. You check with the Rebbe. Okay, so a lot of nafkaminas ladina. Who the father is? So that's an important. That shaila permeates kol tarakula. That's not a mamzer shaila per se. One of the many nafkaminas ladina. Who the father is? Oh, by the way, if the father's the husband, then the child's kosher. If the father happens not to be the husband, then we got a big problem. Then the child's a mamzer. So that's one of 100 other shailas, whether this is the father or not. So says Rabbi Kivega, in all other areas of Allah, we follow Rov. So for Kibbut Avayim, we're going to follow Rov. And for Makkah Avivim, we're going to follow Rov. And for Bris Mila, and Pidgin Aben, and Tamatar, and Umnis, and Swimming, and Marriage, everything else, we're going to follow Rov. And all of a sudden, Mamzer is going to stick out like a sore thumb. He said, that's going to be a bizarre. How can the Torah give us such a parasha? How can the Torah say such a strange thing? That for 99% of the cases, we're going to follow Rov. We're going to say, this is the father, this is the father, this is the father. And all of a sudden, comes the Mamzer, we're going to start the question. Nope, maybe it's not the father. It can't be. That would be a contradiction within the Pesach Halacha. You think davening mincha before plag, after plag on Friday is bad. This is the worst. So this is ein lucha tarte de sasri gadol mizot. For mamzerus we're going to say one thing, and for makah avimah we're going to say something else, and kibbut avayim we're going to say a third thing. The halacha doesn't work that way. It wouldn't make any sense. So therefore, Bikivega says, this is not a localized, this is not a Mamzeri Shaila, this is a Ben and Av Shaila, this is a general Shaila that permeates Kol HaTarakula. So when you're working with Kol HaTarakula, you follow the row, which is the rule of Kol HaTarakula. So according to Rabbi Kivager, the difference between Mamzer and Maisa Behema is not a difference in terms of what type of a rove we're invoking. There is no razzle-dazzle difference between Ruby the Isakamans and Laysakamans. No, it's not a difference between roves. It's a difference between cases. Is it a localized case or is it a qualistic case? It's a totally different mahalach. So we have two gedolei oilam. We entered into the world of Rabbi Kivager and the Sheikh Shmaitz, two gedolei oilam who are both dealing with the same problem. We're both dealing with how do you resolve the apparent stira between Mamzerus and Maisa Behema. Do you emphasize the difference between different types of robes, like the Sheikh Shmaitza, or do you emphasize that they're talking about two, one's a localized question, one's a more clawy type of a question. Now you move into the third possibility, the Dvar Avram. Says the Dvar Avram, the Mechilas covered of the Halak of Ga'inim before him, neither of them is right. Neither of Kivegi Shtibel Torah, nor the Sheikh Shmaitz is still there. What's the endless answer? Says the Dvar Avram. I'll tell you what the answer is. Says the Dvar Avram, there's a difference between Maisa Behema and Mamzerus, but not the way Rabbi Kivega said it. You know what is the difference? Maisa Behema is a very unique halacha. Maisa Behema requires counting. You count Maisa Behema. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. The 10th animal is Kaddish. And then you start again. There's a din of a minion. Minyan Haroi, Minyan Poiter, there's a din of Svira by Maisa Behema. Zoftet Vavram, Svira has to be B'teres Vadai. You can't have a Svira B'sofik. The very nature, the very name Svira conjures up an image, it has to be B'teres Vadai. I know what I'm counting, I know what number I'm up to. If I'm finagling around, I'm not sure, am I number 2017 or 2018? I don't know. Is this the 8th animal, the 9th animal? I don't know who's who. It's Nishkein Svira. It's a hafkah in Hilchas Svira. When the Rosh and Shulchan Aruch says it's midei sveikel on hafka, they never meant to say that it's called a suffik in Kol HaTarakula. All of the areas of halacha, including mamzeros, it's not a suffik, it's a rive. Rive trumps everything. When there's a robe, it's not a suffik. But Hilchas Svira works with its own rules. Whenever you have a din Svira, robe is not going to help you. That's the yesod for the Dvar. Now, this Dvar Avram is a famous Dvar Avram, not in terms of Maisa Behema. Most people don't know that the Dvar Avram started his Shtikl Torah based on Maisa Behema. People know from Sefiras HaOmer, because the Dvar Avram is a famous Shtikl Torah where he says that if a person stuck in the desert and they don't know which day of Sefira it is, so he says, don't bother counting. The guy's going to figure out, okay, I'll count all possibilities. I'll count, maybe today's the third day, maybe today's the fourth day, maybe today's the fifth day. Says the Dvar Avram, save your breath, don't waste your time, because you're not going to be Yotzi anyway. Because the Sefira that's not B'teres Vadai doesn't have a Chalei Shem Sefira on it. Where did he come up with this Shtikl Torah from? From this sugya. From the sugya of Kavetz Avram. The only problem is that the Avram tells you that in the end he backs out. Because he writes that the Balamor, Maseches Pesachim, raises the question, how come we don't count Sefiras HaOmer Sfeika D'Yoma? Every day of Sefira and Chutzlot, we should count 2 days. So the Balamor says, you're right, we really should. But if we'll do that, then when it comes to the 50th day, we're going to be sitting down eating our cheesecake, and we're still going to be counting Misafik, it's 49 days. That's going to be a bizayin to Shavuot. So therefore, the Chachamim couldn't obligate us to count Sfeika D'Yoma. They should have, could have, would have, but Lamaisa didn't. Because just of a very technicality, it's going to interfere with Yontif D'Araisa. So says it's about Rav, but you see, if not for that, then we could have counted 2 days. It wouldn't have bothered us to count 2 days in Suffolk. You can't have a Sfira even though it's a Suffolk. So says it's about Rav, you see from here, the Mashtikl Torah is wrong. So the problem is, most people don't know the end of the Dvar Avram. Most people, I've heard many, many shiurim on Pesach about the first half of the Dvar Avram. According to the Dvar Avram, you can't have a sphere in Misafik. What's the din? A lot of permutations, but you got to read the end of the piece. At the end of the piece, he says, even though I think I was right, but I'm a vatal daiti b'nei dasa balamor. The balamor disagreed with me, so I'm a vatal daiti. But according to what the Dvar Avram thought the din would be, you can have a lot of shiurim on Pesach and Sfiras HaOmer. So I'll call upon him. We have three basic mahalchim in the Gedolia Acharonim how to solve the problem of the stira between the two Gemaras. Either it's based on Rubi the Isakamon, Rubi the Leisakamon, that's the Sheikh Shmaitz's mahalch, or it's based on Rubi Kivager, a difference between a localized suffix and a general suffix, or it's based on, at least what the Dvar Avram thought, that Svira is fundamentally different from all other areas of halacha. Hopefully, next week, we'll continue with the sugyas of Rov, and try to see some of the exceptions to applications of the principles of Rov.